Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C. The Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C. And this is going to be an all new show, all new hot topics, all new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today. And don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 13 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and victim 4, aka in quotes, Mia, is still on the stand, and she's being cross-examined by Sean Diddy Combs' defense team. This is the Kempire Channel's coverage of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Day 13 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and we have a lot to still unpack. And I have to tell you, the testimony from victim 4, aka Mia, a former personal assistant, a woman that claims not only did Diddy overwork her, he also S8'd her multiple times. And here's the thing, before we get into the nitty-gritty of what's been playing out today and what played out yesterday, I don't know if she has, and maybe we find out today if she's filed a civil lawsuit against Diddy. Maybe she's one of the Jane Doe that has filed a lawsuit against him. But if she hasn't, it says to me what she said in yesterday's testimony, that she planned on never talking about this, going to the grave with this. Her story is quite traumatizing. And as always, I'm just going to give a trigger warning at the very beginning of this, because one thing I found when we were covering the story is that so many of you have been in DV situations, you've been SA'd. So I know stories like this can be traumatizing. And what we're trying to do at our best on these daily updates is to give you a summary and not the full details of what she's saying. However, I do want to ask the community whether or not you'd like when I add, depending on the testimony, I haven't done this for every testimony, but for people like Capricorn Clark or Cassie, I have read some of the questions and testimony specifically from some of the journalists inside the courtroom. So you guys will let me know. I will do that for today, but for next week, let me know if you just want the summary the way that I do it, or do you want, depending on the witness, do you want me to get into the nitty-gritty of it all? So I was just double-checking. Look, when I go to the side, I'm just double-checking the sound is working, because one thing I will also say, yesterday, I was done by 4:30 when it came to recording and updating and ready to upload it. I had issues downloading it and then trying to upload it there. And then you saw yesterday part of the video for 4 minutes. 4 minutes. It was just black, but you still had audio. I just decided, I was like, I'm just going to put this out, because at that particular point, it was like 7 o'clock in the evening. I was already dealing with this for like 3 hours almost. And I appreciate, shout out to all of you that have been sending love and thanks for our daily updates on this. But it's still very frustrating, because you already know earlier in the week, maybe it's just one of those weeks, earlier in the week, we had the sound issue and I had to re-record an entire recap, but I had to abbreviate it because at that particular point, my voice was just done. Sidebar, I need to grab some water, so let me pause. And if you hear, because I noticed in the other video too, if you hear sirens and things like that, I live in New York City. I live in the heart of New York City. I have ambulances near me. I have a hospital near me. I have a fire department near me. The police always have their sirens on when they want to run through a red light. All of you have not complained about any of those things, so I'm just saying that because you guys know I like to present to you in a very professional way, as if I am in the Kempire Studios. This is my studio, but you also get Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on getting our daytime talk show so we could talk the real talk in a very professional way. But look, I appreciate all of your patience and understanding. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. So let me just regurgitate, for lack of a better word. Oh, before we get into that, I know a lot of you probably, because the YouTube algorithm has not shown you. Maybe you're not subscribed, or maybe it just has not shown you. I did an interview yesterday that premiered yesterday. I did it the other night with prosecutor Kirsten Brown. She's a prosecutor in Los Angeles County. We had such a great conversation. She's definitely going to come back. Maybe not on a weekly basis, because first of all, she is a prosecutor. She's got a caseload, so she's already overworked, okay? So I appreciate her taking the time and being here. But let me tell you, I'm so grateful for that conversation, because as you have said since the beginning of this Diddy trial, I want to be able to have some experts, not just lawyers and not just prosecutors. I'm going to have defense people that are just lawyers come on and share their thoughts. And I've been sharing some of the opinions of people that I've been listening to and watching and things like that as well. I'm grateful for that, because Kirsten reached out to me as I've been reaching out to other attorneys to have featured here on the show. But I was grateful that I even saw her message, because it was in that other place, another regions of Instagram. And it was on one of my other accounts, not the main account. It was on the Kempire Daily account. So I was so grateful that I even saw it. And so, of course, we started doing some email exchanges. And finally, we were able, not finally, we were able to turn that around in like a few days. And let me tell you, you just never know if you're going to vibe with someone, or if they're going to be able to really vibe with our community and really be able to explain things in layman's terms. And based on everyone's reaction already, you guys enjoyed our conversation. You felt like you had a better understanding of what's happening in this case. We went into jury selection. We went into, would Kempire be a good juror? She said yes. I'm glad, though, because one of the things that in listening back to our conversation, I wouldn't be able to talk about this case. I would not be able to give you daily updates like this. First of all, time. I wouldn't have had the time. I, again, would have been going against the standards of what they would want for this case. And I'd like to be able to talk about this for you guys as well. Also, I have other things going on in my life. I don't just do this. I have other things that I need to take care of and whatnot. I got property. Look, I got things to do. I can't be hemmed up looking at Diddy all day. But I say all that to say, if you missed our conversation with Kirsten Brown and you've been wanting to understand this process legally from a legal mind, I'm going to cite it in this video again in the description, live chat. I'll be posting it as well. Go watch it or listen to it on the Kempire podcast. It's available there as well. Such a poignant conversation, so educational. I have more conversations coming up with other minds that are going to give different perspectives on the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Let's get into the Sean Diddy Combs trial. And as I mentioned before, any ahs, I'm going to try and get rid of those as much as possible. However, there's only so much editing I can do, especially when I'm trying to churn these out to you guys. And it's a Friday. Come on now. I really should be saying, and it's a Friday. I've already done so many things already today, but I've been keeping an eye on this case. I just want to give you a little bit of what NBC News wrote yesterday in regards to what played out in court, because that's a whole other side when it comes to, it's not just the testimony, it's the prosecution and the defense battling their case around with the judge in regards to how they would like to proceed and what they need. And one thing that I learned from our conversation with Kirsten was the fact that the reason why they're bringing up mistrial multiple times is for future reference when it comes to their appeal. Again, you will learn so much from that video. That video should have like 100,000 views, because if you really want an understanding of what's happening, you're going to get a better understanding. She breaks it down in such a fantastic way. I'm not just saying that so y'all can watch my video. No, I'm listening to it again because I'm like, there were so many little gems. But let me get to this. So some of the last notes that I didn't get to yesterday, MB says that Mia ended her testimony for the day telling jurors that the essays she says that she was subjected to were, quote, the most traumatizing moments of her life. For those that missed it yesterday, Mia is a former personal assistant to Diddy. Mia is not her real name. Okay, she's also known as Victim 4 in this indictment. When the prosecutor, Smizer, asked why she agreed to testify, Mia said, because I have to tell the truth, the whole truth. The witness said that she absolutely did not want to discuss these attacks in public. She's so brave. And I know there will be people that will make excuses for Diddy. I don't have words for those people. But she is so brave. We were talking about the bravery of Cassie Ventura testifying in front of her abuser. 8.5 months pregnant at the time. She's now given birth, for those that may have missed that update. But this is also another brave person, a victim, but also an employee. The witness said that she absolutely did not want to discuss these attacks in public. It's the most traumatizing, worst thing that ever happened to me, she told the jurors. The jury was then dismissed for the day at that particular point. But wait. NBC reports that said defense attorney Mark Agnifilo suggested his side's case might take longer than expected after receiving notice from the prosecution about changes to their presentation. Agnifilo did not give any specifics, but suggested the government's case might end sooner than anticipated, which could then cause the defense to go longer. The judge has made it clear. Judge Aaron Submarinian is not playing when it comes to time. And it could be because tax dollars. It could be because of the juror's time. He has made it clear he wants the jury to begin deliberations around July 4th. Agnifilo also reminded the judge that the defense is still seeking to have more time with Combs during off hours. Because remember, yesterday we reported to you, the jail will not permit Diddy to meet with his attorneys past 7 p.m. So the judge said yesterday that he was going to reach out to the Bureau of Prisons or whatever, and see if they could have that extended to at least 10 p.m. Agnifilo reminded the judge that the defense is still seeking to have more time with Combs during off hours, and some Marines say that he's working on it. All right, so that was yesterday's update at the end of the day. We have some more updates from our friends over at NBC. So they remind us for today's preparation that Victim 4, who's being identified in court only as Mia, is set to return to the stand today after an exhausting day of testimony, to the point where Mia at certain particular points put her head down. She was hyperventilating, according to reports. They said that Mia said that she feared Combs's power and wanted to take these traumatic experiences to the grave. She says, I was going to die with this, she said yesterday. I didn't want anyone to know ever. And at certain particular points, and you'll hear that in her testimony today, is that he would threaten her job. He would threaten to tell Cassie because she had become so close with Cassie. He knew that. He would threaten to tell Cassie, like, oh, we were intimate. Mind you, she didn't want to be intimate with him. The judge rarely passes up a chance to remind the lawyers of his goal of wrapping up the case around the 4th of July. And by all accounts, in the early days of this trial, both sides reasonably hopeful that they could have the jurors deliberating by around July 4th. Mind you, it's not even June yet. But defense lawyer Mark Agnifilo wanted to remind the judge on Thursday that if the prosecution rests ahead of schedule, the defense case could still stretch forward to the 4th of July. It's fair for you to raise, so I'm not raising expectations, the judge said. Okay. So they give us a recap of what happened yesterday. I won't go through that. Again, if you want to hear everything that happened yesterday, be sure to check out yesterday's recap that we did here, along with the video that we did with Kirsten Brown, a prosecutor from Los Angeles County. All right. So the witness became emotional. They talked about that from yesterday. We already talked about that. They talked about the lawyer's arrival. They also talk about the court being in session. So let me go through this summary, and then I will go back and forth in regards to the cross-examination. Matter of fact, I'll do both. Okay, so the defense continued its call for more time to meet with Combs outside courtroom hours, and the U.S. District Judge appeared to say that there might not be much more he can do to help. The judge said that he could have Combs available to his lawyers for up to 90 minutes in the morning following at 7 a.m. courthouse arrival, and then for another 2.5 hours after the jurors are sent home. Those hours are already maxing out the U.S. Marshals Service, the judge added. Defense attorney Mark Agnifilo said that his side can't properly show Combs' documents and exhibits in his holding space. Subramanian said that he appreciates Combs' unique needs and will try to get more time and space for the defense. But at some point, the defense might have to accept it's getting more time with Combs than almost any other federal defendant. This is what I'm about to say. It's like, this is not something new where you have a defense team, a defendant that's in court, and you have to be subjected to these time constraints. So he's not special. But the judge did try. Mia has returned to the stand wearing a cream blouse and white jacket for a second day of direct examination. This is coming from our friends over at Inner City Press. We appreciate them. I was also checking out the Shade Room. They have someone in the court, and they're also on X reporting some of what they're observing and hearing in the court. I really do like how Inner City Press is covering this case. Again, this is not a transcript. This is his sort of paraphrasing of what he's hearing in court. Okay. And there are so many elements that I end up finding out later. Oh, this was said in court and this was not said in court. Like when it came to Capricorn Clark revealing on the stand a settlement where the defense said, didn't you reach out to Diddy in 2021 about, and you wrote him this letter, and Capricorn on the stand, and I got this from Lauren LaRosa from The Breakfast Club. And she says on the stand, that's not from 2021. That's from 2012. And she says it was a letter that was a part of a settlement that she received. And I'm thinking, remember we showed you a video in an interview with Suge Knight. Suge Knight said that she had received like $1 million in a settlement. So I'm wondering if it had to do with that. I'm assuming, I don't like to assume, but I'm telling you it's an assumption. I don't know that for fact. But she says that the letter that the defense is bringing up was from 2021. They're saying it was from 2021. She says, no, it was from 2012, a settlement. And they were like, oh. And she said that she's the one who wrote that letter. And he just signed his name to it, where he had asked for, she had asked in that settlement for a recommendation. Because she could not find work. There was so much. There are so many names that have been brought up in this case. And Jimmy Iovine telling her, leave the Diddy situation alone. Diddy and Andre Harrell showing up at CAA, where she was meeting with CAA for a possible position. They're showing up there telling her to leave this alone. On the stand yesterday, Mia talked about how Diddy and, I won't say HR, Diddy basically asked her to lie when it came to other people that were trying to accuse Diddy of harmful behavior. And they specifically wanted her to say, she did this to me. Asking her to lie. Again, I'm always going to cite my conversation with Kirsten Brown because there's a lot of context and understanding in regards to the charges that are being brought against Diddy. But those that keep saying, oh, it's just DV, they keep bringing up DV. Well, no, there are elements of RICO that they're talking about. All right, let's get into some of this transcript. I'm going to read this as much as possible because I feel like it adds a lot of context. You guys will let me know again in the live chat whether or not you like this or not. Okay, but before we do that, today's live is brought to you by our friends over at Factor Meals. As a busy day like today, where I've had so many appointments already this morning, got to get this recap out to you guys. Then I have technical issues. Factor makes it simple and easy to make a chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meal with 40-plus add-ons and more. Love, love, love them, especially now that it's gotten a little bit warmer here in New York City. No one wants to be over the stove cooking anything. You pop this in the microwave. 2 minutes later, you have a delicious meal that is satisfying. So head on over to the description for more details, but get started at factormeals.com/Kempire50off and use code Kempire50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code Kempire50off at factormeals.com/Kempire50off for 50% off plus free shipping. Factormeals.com/Kempire50off. More information on Factor Meals and your discount will be available in the description. Thank you to Factor for sponsoring our Diddy coverage today. And my stomach. Okay. All right, let's get into this. And one thing I have noticed in editing these things is the amount of times some of us, myself included, will use the words okay. So I try to eliminate some of that. So if you see like glitches in the editing, just because I'm trying to eliminate some of that for those that are listening to this later, okay? I'm trying my best, okay? All right. But I appreciate all the love. I do. All right. So Inner City Press reports this. So Combs's attorney, they have a little back and forth in the morning before the jury comes out. AUSA, were you and Matt able to hang out together normally? Let me go back. The AUSA says first, did you call the other employee's family? Mia says, yes, I was surrounded by them and everyone referred to each other that way. You dated an employee? She says, yes, Matt, the sound engineer, which is what we found out yesterday. Were you and Matt able to hang out together normally? Mia says, no, we had an apartment together in New York, but we were rarely there at the same time. Why did you go to South Africa? Puff told me to accompany Cassie. She was shooting a movie. What happened there? Cass had caught Puffy cheating on her with Gina, which a lot of people are wondering if Gina's going to testify. She was devastated. AUSA says, what were her interactions with Mr. Combs? Sidebar, for those that don't know who Gina is, Gina was one of the people that did an interview with Tasha Kay 5 years ago, claiming abuse, physical abuse from Diddy. I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's one of the victims. There's speculation that she's like victim three, I think they said. But I don't know. There are rumors that she might be missing, that allegedly she may have been paid off. I don't know if any of that is true. That is speculation. One of the things that we also told you is that the prosecution is unsealing their witnesses little by little for the world. What we learned from Kirsten is that the defense fully knows who the prosecution has on their witness list. So she says Cass had caught Puff cheating on her with Gina. She was devastated. What were her interactions with Mr. Combs? They were on the phone. He was in Miami. Then she stopped answering the calls. I'll read the blue messages. A KK, Miss Corum, and you read the gray. That's you. She wrote, PD, Puff Daddy, wants to talk to you. Who's that? Mia says, Puff. Audio call not completed. I wasn't answering the calls, but I spoke with Puff. He threatened to unalive me, I'm going to say. I'm changing certain words because of YouTube. AUSA says, what else did he threaten you with? He said that he was firing me. He said that I had to leave and fly back, and he threatened to unalive me. Miss Karam wrote, I need to talk to her. Not sure what to do. He needs to call you to call him now, or you don't have a job. This is what Christina Karam is saying, his chief of staff. What else did he threaten you with? He said that he was firing me. He said that I had to leave and fly back, and he threatened to unalive me. Can we read that? How did it make you feel? Mia said, desperate, terrified, and really sad. Did you answer KK's calls? No, I text back that I had been asleep. It sucks to wake up to this every morning. I'm being ish on all sides. I'm in a effed up spot. And what was KK's answer? She wrote, can you call me when you get a chance? I wrote, I'm having anxiety attacks and night fears. AUSA says, about who? Puff. Who are these WhatsApps with? Puff, I screenshotted them. I had other phones since. What did Mr. Combs write? If you call me in 2 minutes, I'm going to tell everything. You're fired. Okay. And then according to her, he says, FABC and their lawyers, let's go to war. What do you think he meant by tell everything? Mia says, he tell Cassie about the SA. What do you think he meant by FABC? Mia says, I had written a show based on my life as an assistant. It hit the press the most I ever got. He was threatening to take that away. I don't even remember any of this. One of the things we did learn was the fact that she was working with him in Revolt Films. We talked a little bit about that yesterday because that was her aspiration. Did the show ever air? Mia says, no. What did he write now? She says, call me now. Then don't ever call me again. I wrote back that I'd been asleep. Is that the end of the screenshots? Mia says, yes. What's this? She says, my email to Puff, then to KK. What did you write? I'm really sorry, Puff. You know I love you. Smiley face. I paid for my own flight. It will cost to change it. I'm sorry to ask for money. I'm sorry. I want to make sure you're good. At the end of the day, regardless, I love you. Why did you send this? He told me to return, then he told me to stay. I couldn't afford the change fees. I told him, Cece, which we've learned is Cassie Combs, as they would like right to refer to her, says that she really needs me right now, but of course I'll do whatever you want. I love you. Who is Cece? Cass. Why did you write this? Mia says, because I worked for him. To him, that's all that mattered. Why did you CC Miss Curran? Because I needed an answer. I was in limbo. When you got back from South Africa, where did you work? The office in LA. Did you have less access to Mr. Combs? Much less, she said. Did it make your job easier or harder? It made it almost impossible. I needed his okay for everything, but I couldn't get any responses from him. How did it make you feel? Defeated. What is this? A note for HR to me. What was the date? March 31st, 2011. Miss Meiser, can we take the document down? I think it needs further redaction, the judge says. What was happening? Mia says, I was suspended without pay. What happened? He came in and didn't see I have laid all the options out. He started ranting. I tried to point to the other options. Who was this with? James Cruz. He worked for Puff in a managerial role. He asked for tickets. I wrote back, Puff is currently firing me now. Right now. He wrote back, laughing out loud. I wrote back, no, seriously, sad face. What is this? Email D-Rock to me, March 25th, 2011. D-Rock asked, what happened? D-Rock is going to have to testify. Where is D-Rock? Mia wrote, I wrote, he went bat-ish crazy about his shirt. Where was Puff? With D-Rock going to the doctor and some other errands, I asked D-Rock to give me a heads up before they came back so I could be out of the way. What did HR tell you? Puff wanted me suspended without pay. And I was, Mia said, Mia, does this memo document the reasons you were suspended? Mia says, no, HR told me Puff said I was being insubordinate. The crazy part to me, because we always talk about you should document some of this stuff with HR, but we also have said that HR isn't your friend. They're really the friend of the employer. And this is a clear example of that, because HR has been brought up multiple times in different testimonies. Mia says, yes. How did that make you feel? So sad that I did something wrong. Did you continue working for Mr. Combs? Mia says, yes. Did you feel you could leave your job? That wasn't a thought. I had tried to run away before and it didn't work. Did you feel that you could get another job? Oh no, he would have made sure. Important for us to talk about that. Mia says, I was scared of him. When did you try to run away from your job? New Year's 2010 to 2011? Where were you? Mia says, St. Bart's. Who was there? Me, Puff, Kim, the kids, and some others. Where did you stay? A yacht that Puff chartered. My gosh, because then you really can't go anywhere. What did Mr. Combs ask you to do? To count the money in the safe? He yelled I was counting too slow. He chased me out and told me, you better learn to walk on water like Jesus. B, get the F out of here. Whose job was it to count? Security. Mia says, I asked the crew to take me to land, but it was a hurricane or something. I hid on the third floor. Who spoke to you? Kim. She tried to console me and said, don't worry about it. I saw Puff coming toward me. I ran and hid in the crew cabin. Wow. Did the crew take you to land in a tender boat? Mia says, yes. But then they got a call. I had to come back. See, and we talked about this too. And we've talked, so many people say, oh, but he's such a good father. I can't imagine the kids did not hear or witness some of the abuse that he was doing to his workers and his relationships. I can't imagine that they didn't see it or notice weird behavior from the people that he was working with or in a relationship with. So when people say, oh, but he's a good father, but I'm like, there are examples of, did the kids not see any of this at all? Because people like to think that kids are not aware of things and they are fully aware. Did the crew take you to land in a tender boat? She says, yes, but then they got a call. I had to come back. Were you able to leave the country? No, my passport was on the boat. Puff's staff had it. Did you go back to the boat? Mia says, yeah. Holding on to her passport? Something to note, right attorneys? She had no control over her own passport. Did the crew... Okay, Mia says, I was told to get in a car to go on a plane to Vegas with Puff. In the car, could you hear Puff's call? He was telling his chief of staff I needed to be suspended, making up a story. I didn't get to finish. He yelled, shut the F up. Mm-mm-mm. You left Mr. Combs' companies in 2017? Lord, she worked for him a long time. Mia says, yes, I spoke with Brian Offit, who we were editing the Bad Boy documentary. I was producing that. What did Brian tell you? That Mr. Combs wanted to end Revolt Films. The company was going away, which is important to her. How did you feel? I think I saw snot coming out of my nose for a while. I was worried. I had been told Revolt Films was the only company that had made money this year. How did you feel? That I had done something wrong. What did Brian Offit say? That they would work out severance, but it was the holidays. Did you speak to anyone else? She says, KK. I had a little bit of time to horrifically process what had happened. KK said, you're still working on the documentary. Did you? Yes, until March or April. What did you do after that? Cried myself to sleep. I ignored all the calls. Did you have conversations with Cassie after? I could never tell who was with or without Puff, so I didn't respond. KK says Puff couldn't believe I would go against him. I had gotten an employment attorney. KK said Puff couldn't believe it. Did you get paid? After 9 months, my attorney proposed a mediation. They asked for like $10 million. Okay, so now, remember I said I wasn't sure if she got a settlement or something? Who came up with that figure? She says, my lawyers. Did you bring up the violent incidents? A few of them. I feel like I was doing something horrible. I was breaking the idea of confidentiality, telling secrets. I felt wrong and shameful. Did you bring up the essays? She says, oh no, I was going to die with that. How much did you receive? $200,000. Whoa. My lawyers got that much too. What was it for? Bonuses. I hadn't been paid and out of pocket. Wow. So it was already money that she was owed. Would you return the money to have this never happen, to have never happened? Then Diddy's attorney says, objection. Judge says, overruled. She says, oh, absolutely. Do you have any other lawsuits against Mr. Combs? She says, no. $200,000 she received that she was owed, not for the pain and suffering that she had actually gone through and probably the therapy that she currently still needs. Did you contact Mr. Combs again when Kim died and when Andre Harrell died? Did you tell him you loved him in these messages? Mia says, yes, that's how I would speak to him. Are you aware of Cassie's lawsuit? Yes, November 2023. Have you spoken with Cassie since the suit? She says, yes. We talked a lot then, not. We both hid from our phones in the depression thing. Then a few days ago, just personal stuff, and I love yous. Did you speak about your testimonies? Oh, no. That's important to know. They have to say that. They have to say the fact, yes, we've been in communication, but we did not talk about what we're going to say here. After the suit in November of 2023, did anyone contact you? Mia says, yes, D-Rock. He was like my big brother. He said, how are you? What did you respond? D-Rock, why are all the exclamation points? Because I love exclamation points and D-Rock. Mia says, I understood D-Rock was no longer with Puff. He and his wife had a restaurant in the Poconos. He wrote, I'm about to call you. What date? November 30th of 2023. Did D-Rock call you? Mia says, yes. What happened on the call? Objection, Diddy's attorney say. Judge says, ask again. What did he say? Judge says, overruled. Mia says, he started with personal stuff. Then he said, the news is crazy. It wasn't like that. It was normal fighting. Was it? Mia says, absolutely not. D-Rock said, Puff misses you. He implied everyone agreed. So it feels like D-Rock was reaching out to her in order to do damage control, doing Diddy's dirty work. Mia says, I immediately thought, oh my gosh. Diddy's attorney says, objection. Judge says, grounds. Steele says, Diddy's attorney, non-responsive. Okay. All right. So where did D-Rock say he was? Mia says that he had just landed in Miami. He was going to be at Puffs. He was going to take care of Christian. D-Rock said, maybe you could say something. How did you respond? Mia says, I pretended I talked to Puff. Did you want to? No, I was scared. He called me right after D-Rock. How did you react? I threw my phone behind the couch and ran out. Damn. Why? It was just so triggering. Did you hear from D-Rock again? She says, yes. What did D-Rock write? That your boy doesn't want you to do anything, just to talk. I didn't want to. I just wanted it to go away. What then did D-Rock write to you? He wrote, I can't believe you're not hitting me back. It was February 22nd of 2024. This is part of what the prosecution was talking about and why they had justification for why they wanted Diddy to stay in lockup, in detainment. She says, I knew he wouldn't stop. So I wrote back, I was scuba diving all day and didn't have my phone on the boat. Was that true? No. I told D-Rock I called Pub, but there was no answer. I wanted to play neutral. D-Rock asks, how can I send you something? What did you think he meant? Money. I said, no, I'm always ready to help y'all out. AUSA says, he wrote, I'm allowed to send my sister a gift, did he? Mia says, no. What do you think D-Rock was trying to do? Mia says, find out for Puff if I was a threat. Did Mr. Combs text you in February of 2024? Mia says, yes. He said, call me when you have 10 minutes. Love. I guess that's how Diddy, you know, did he change his name? And this one, February 7th of 2024, he said, I need my memory jogged. Did you respond? No. I didn't want anything to do with him. He was the person I was traumatized by. I knew that this was a front. Was this the last message? I think so. I got some objection. Diddy's defense. Judge says, sustained. Do you work now? No, I suffer from complex PTSD. Judge says, sidebar. Uh-oh. What are your symptoms? AUSA says. Mia says, misinterpreting emails. Someone calls my name from across the room. All the feelings of getting in trouble come flooding back. I triple guess myself. I can imagine when someone is yelling at me. People have PTSD from everyday work environments where they've had a toxic work environment, a toxic boss. Based off of just reading this summary of what she's testifying, I'm a little triggered for her. All right. So she says, misinterpreting emails. Someone calls my name from across the room. All the feelings of getting in trouble come flooding back. I triple guess myself. So the judge says, Mr. Steele, you can put the binders on the jurors' chairs. Ms. Miser, do you have any objections? There's an exhibit we are questioning hearsay redactions to. We can hash it out. Judge says, put the binders on the chairs. All right. Cross-examination begins. Before we get to cross-examination, so what I want to do is just use NBC's summary of some of what we just said, because I feel like there are certain things, again, where we're relying on one particular journalist. What I've discovered in utilizing multiple sources and giving you a summary is that there are things lost, even with Inner City Press. Again, we appreciate the work that they're doing, but I also feel like there are some little moments, not even just little moments, there are certain things and stories that are missed because he's trying to transcribe things that he's hearing, okay? So I'd like to go back and see if the summary includes anything that we haven't said. Kathy Ventura had caught Combs cheating on her and left devastated and stopped answering his calls. Remember when they were in South Africa, because she was shooting a movie. Mia said that she woke up to 48 missed calls and messages from Combs and others who worked for him. The jury got a look at Combs' alleged insatiable need for employees to respond immediately. The government showed an odd text conversation between Mia and Combs with the defendant spouting off with 7 consecutive lines of call me now. Mia testified about her recollection of a 2011 incident when she says that Combs reacted violently after he asked her to bring him some workout clothes, and the defendant allegedly lost it when he disliked all the options presented to him. He was just screaming and cursing at me and wouldn't stop, and then something violent happened. Mia said, though she couldn't remember the exact details of this alleged violent act. I can only imagine if you worked with him for years and it was always like this on any given day, you're not going to remember these details. God bless her for remembering half of the stuff that she does remember. She says he was just screaming and cursing at me and wouldn't stop, and then something violent happened. When James Cruz, a Bad Boy manager, emailed Mia that day asking who in the company was handling Kids' Choice Award ticket requests, the witness responded, "I'd totally help, but he is currently firing me at the moment." Lord. In the fall of 2016, Combs no longer wanted to be involved in Revolt Films and wanted to end it, Mia testified. Revolt Films is a media company founded by Combs that Mia worked for as a director of development and acquisition. She said that she felt betrayed, confused, and rejected by the decision. She continued to work on a documentary project until spring of 2017. She testified that she was, quote, heartbroken by the decision to close Revolt Films, meaning she'd lose her position, and avoided calls from Combs and staff. She eventually hired an employment attorney to work out severance, which hurt Combs. After 9 months of back and forth, she ended up with a sum of $400,000, and she took home $200,000 with the attorneys taking the rest as compensation for bonuses owed, severance, and overtime. My goodness. After Ventura filed her lawsuit against Combs, Mia testified the defendant reached out to her, but she said that she steered clear of him. The government showed a February 7, 2024 email from Combs to Mia in which he used kind words in acting for a phone call to have my memory jogged on a few things. But Mia said that she didn't respond. "I was terrified," she said. "I know this was a front." Mia said that she believed Combs was fearful of her telling anyone what she'd seen the defendant do over the years. Because that Cassie lawsuit, again, we said, triggered what we are seeing now. And he knows what he's done with other people. And he knew how the world reacted. Mind you, this is even before the video of Cassie being dragged and kicked by Diddy in the Intercontinental Hotel hallways. This is February. That was, I believe, in March, May. It was like around that time. But this is definitely before. But we're talking a couple of months before this. In November of 2023, Cassie filed her lawsuit detailing everything. Honestly, I feel like Cassie didn't tell us everything, but she did. She told us enough, and enough for him to settle with her 24 hours later. So she says Puff wanted Combs security guard D-Rock to get to me and make sure I wasn't a threat. D-Rock, I'm sure they have subpoenaed him. When asked under direct examination if she works now, Mia said that she hasn't been able to because I suffer from severe, complex PTSD following her employment with Combs. She explained that the normal situations are overwhelming and that she feels triggered when someone asks, "Where are you?" or if someone says her name across the room. And now the defense will start their cross-examination. Before we get to that, just a reminder, guys, a nice, easy way of supporting our channel and the podcast: like this video. If you're listening to the podcast version, be sure to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And don't forget the Kempire After Dark, the villain era, is coming to Philadelphia on July 10th, then Atlanta on August 5th, then we'll be in Washington, D.C. on August 22nd, then back here in New York City on September 12th. And that particular show has a live stream option. All ticket information will be available in the link tree in the description or in the live chat. Shout out to our King's Guards holding us down in the live chat. Again, everyone has a different opinion on how this case is going. Just be mindful and respectful of everyone's opinion. So let's get into this cross-examination. And again, this is from our friends over at Inner City Press. And I'm just going to read this, guys. Where necessary, I will highlight. This is Mia speaking, just as back and forth. Again, the grammatical errors and things like that, it makes it difficult to read this to you. So just a heads up, a preview. Diddy's attorney: "Because of Sean Combs, you suffer a great deal, right?" Mia says, "Right." "Just seeing him call your number made you throw your phone." "True." "He made you do things that are unthinkable." "Yes." "Making you sleep in a room with a lock and coming in and violating you in the most unthinkable way." "True." Mia says, "True." "You said that Sean Combs' conduct was the worst thing that ever happened to you, right?" "Yes." "Look at that notebook." "I moved to the admission of 1702 to 1710. AUS says, "These are under seal," AUSA said. Whatever the court says, we have redacted versions. Mia, this is a social media post by you in 2013. Yes. It's your personal account. This is what you're doing. She says, yes, my personal account. You wrote, this is what we do when you are not around. I am Diddy's Ciroc, right? Mia says, yes. You tagged him years after you say he R'd you? She says, yes. Steele says, this is July 4th, 2013. Who hands are those? Cass and me. You wrote, Rich as F and CC. Who's CC? Cass. What does CC stand for? It's just a nickname. Have you heard Cassie Combs? Mia says, oh, that makes sense. I guess maybe she just heard other people say it and she just kind of ran with that. Steele says, Diddy's attorney. Here you say he got coffee for you, though, in a Forbes list. In Forbes list? I don't get what they were trying to say there. Again, we're reading someone regurgitating what they're hearing in court. She says, yes. You say that he made you take drugs against your will at Burning Man, but you post about it. She says, right. You posted a picture with him, a man terrorizing you. Yes. And this video depicting Mr. Combs as doctor delivering your baby? It was funny video. I was proud to be in it. Mr. Combs' birthday is significant to you, too. You did 2 shots with him, right? She says, yes. Alcohol overcame you, right? She says, yes. You believe you were drugged? Mia says, I didn't say that. A person you really don't know put his mouth on your mouth without your permission, right? Yes. His hand up your dress and onto your person. Remember that? It was paralyzing? She says, yes. You wake up in a chair. You told the jury that. I did. But this message and this one, another same day posting, the anniversary of you being essayed by Sean Combs, according to your testimony. I don't celebrate it as an anniversary of that, but his birthday. What did you write? Thank you for giving me an extended family for life. You're effing funny. I love you. You were in a tutu next to Mr. Combs, right? She says, yes. He's holding his private part in his hand. I guess so. You were proud of Mr. Sean Combs? Of course, you'd post the great times. You wrote, extended family for life. You are forever one of my great fans. This is about the man who traumatized you. Mia says, I wrote that. I feel like being under the scrutiny is just more traumatizing too. Who is your mentor and brother you are writing about? Puff. You did a collage. A lot of them are you and Mr. Combs. You picked out the thumbnails, right? Right. What did you write? Who let me have my hair like that? You are with Mr. Combs, right? Yes. Here you say, look, Ma, I'm in a billboard in Times Square, right? It's a play on my name is in lights. And this photo, me and Cass going to Istanbul. Did Mr. Combs have to approve both of you going on that trip? She says, absolutely. This photo, we are in the Sprinter van on the way to Cass's club appearance. Where are you in this one? The W Hotel in Istanbul. What did you write here? About Muhammad Ali's birthday with Puff. I took the photo. You took one photo? I'm sure I took multiple, but this was the best one. This is a November 4th, 5 years after you were essayed, yes? What did you write? Thank you for being my friend. Hashtag happy birthday, Diddy. Hashtag I'm so hot, I'm throwing my panties at myself. Steele says, and you have Mr. Combs shirtless in 2 of the pictures. He's always shirtless. What did you write? Thank you. We read that part. Okay.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial fill in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to Aero-HIIT to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Mia, you have said that you were essayed so many times you can't remember. Objection, AUSA says. Misstates the testimony. Justice sustained. Have you met with prosecutors? Mia says yes. More than 27 times? I don't know the number. See, I can't even imagine that process of reliving this, talking to prosecution multiple times and to multiple different prosecutors. Do you remember telling you don't remember how many times that you were essayed? Mia says, I don't know if I phrased it that way. This has ruined you, right? You are broken, yes? I have to say, Brian Steele, I believe is Diddy's attorney's name, he's a tough cookie. In his, what I've seen so far of all of the attorneys, he's tough. The essay was part of the way he ruined me, Mia said. You wrote, thank you for the good kind of crazy, inspiring me every day. I don't think people wrote bad stuff about their life on Instagram back then, Mia said. Why'd you promote it? It was my job to promote. It was a cycle of ups and downs. When he was calling me his best friend, I wasn't afraid of him. You weren't afraid of the man who stole your innocence? Objection, says AUSA. Judge says overruled. You have family? Diddy's attorney says, parents, a sister, and friends. AUSA says, time frame. When you posted this, you still had a friend. I had no sounding board. I had to get permission to go to my grandfather's funeral. Crazy. Steele says, the jury was an email with D-Rock. You could express yourself, right? I reached out to him, Mia said. What's this? My friends at Funny or Die, I'm in the video, she says. What did you write? You know you're a celebrity when you are spraying champagne at Funny or Die. What is this? My birthday post for Justin, Puff's son. And this one? Ciroc promo, #. You are in it with Mr. Combs, yes. Do you ever say anything that Mr. Combs violated you? I'm guessing they said, did you ever say that Mr. Combs violated you? Mia says, never. Here, Puff and Jimmy Iovine, legends. He traumatized you. She says, yes. You wrote, watch Puff tonight on Fuse today. I convinced him to make a door on his TV set and called it the Diddy door. You post a picture of the person who has ruined your life. And my boss, Mia says. Who made you post this? No one. How did you forget about waking up with a man on top of you having his way with you? Mia says, I was in fear of upsetting him the moments other than when we were best friends. How are you best friends with a man who raped you? Ask my therapist. Now that was a bar. That's the thing. And I'm sure at some particular point, we're going to see more experts talk about the cycles of abuse. We already had Dr. Hughes talk about that. Again, I said before, this is not just about Cassie or a domestic relationship. We're talking about workers that, because in the world of entertainment, and I get it, people always forget this, but we always talk about it here, is yes, this is the world of entertainment, but it's still a workplace. This is his employee, but it's so intimate because you're up all day with these people. You're at their homes. You're seeing them in every aspect of their lives, but you forget, both employee and employer, that this is still considered a work environment. But it's clear that it is a work environment because HR is called into question multiple times. All right. So how did you forget about waking up with a man on top of you, having his way with you? I was in fear of upsetting him the moments other than when we were best friends. How are you best friends with a man you said raped you? She says, ask my therapist. What did you write? F off, Patron, with a photo of Puff dancing with his tequila. And in this photo, Mr. Combs is close to you. She says, yes, you are producing the show. Funny or Die did it. I was getting producer credits. Can we get a sidebar? AUSA says. The judge says, we'll give the jurors their lunch break. We'll stay and hash it out. So they do all of that. I'm going to skip over their sidebar. I'm going to go before we get back into this testimony. I want to go back. I'm trying to pronounce my words. I want to go back to see the summary of what we've had so far. So Combs' defense is clearly trying to undermine Mia's gripping testimony by showing her and the jurors pictures and social media posts between the two in less fraught times. Defense attorney Brian Steele had Mia go through a binder of material showing her and the defendant appearing to enjoy each other's company. One picture appeared to be from a Burning Man festival in 2013, included Mia, Ventura, and Combs. You're standing right next to him and leaning towards him, the man who terrorized you, Steele asked, drawing a yes from Mia. Mia was also shown a YouTube comedy bit directed by Andy Samberg, depicting her in a hospital gown giving birth with Combs acting as an obstetrician. The defense questioned Mia on social media posts with Combs and on her communications with him in which she said, I love you, and praised him as a mentor and inspiration. Mind you, we're seeing a pattern of multiple people that have worked with him that are accusing him of abuse. But also, there is this dichotomy of, yes, he was abusive, but he was a creative genius. They also talk about how on the good days, he was a wonderful person and highly motivating. But on the bad days, he was the devil. But on your bad days, you can't be the devil with your employees. You can't be the devil to a woman that you say that you love. And when I say be the devil, you can't be beating on people. She defended the post as showing the good parts of her life. When asked why she promoted the person who stole her happiness, she said, I had to support the things Puff supported. It was very confusing, ups and downs. The defense tried to call out contradictions in Mia's testimony, where she said that she was in constant fear of upsetting Combs, but would post about being his best friend. This is why we always say social media is not a real world. Stop believing everything that you see on social media. It's easy because the dynamic would shift. When things are good, I felt really safe. You almost forget about those things, she said, referring to the bad memories. She later said, it was psychological. I felt responsible for helping him. I felt bad for him. I don't know how to describe it. There were clearly some things, some good times during the stint Mia had working for Combs. And his side of the table wants jurors to see it. Defense lawyers showed a video of Mia laughing in a comedy video with Rick Ross and images of her celebrating a birthday of Combs' son, Justin. In her direct testimony, Mia didn't deny that there were good times in Combs' world, but made it clear that the highs were more than offset by the lows. The judge, at this particular point, they take a lunch break. The defense will continue its cross-examination in hopes of minimizing the prosecution's witness damaging testimony by emphasizing how she might have benefited from her Combs' employment. When defense attorney Brian Steele asked if Combs was good for her career, Mia conceded it was fun at times. So let's get back to Inner City Press's transcription, for lack of a better word, from the court. So the judge says you can give it to them for a couple of minutes, bring back Mia, then the jury. So the jury enters. What is the Breakfast Club? Not the Breakfast Club being mentioned. The name of our camp. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Okay. The name of our camp. Puff's friend group still partying at breakfast. I was invited in once. This message from South Africa, you pounded, hashtag this Diddy fan club. Yes, it was run by a girl who shamelessly promoted Puff. She was so sweet. He supposedly drugged and raped you on his birthday, November 4th. How did you not mark that? Mia says, I wanted to forget it. I pushed it down. Are you finished? Mia says, yes. You say you saw Mr. Combs abuse your sister, your best friend, Cassie. You put it aside and post this? Mia says, yes. You wrote this. Puff at iHeart, she says. What are you doing here? Promoting Puff's appearance on Black-ish. It's a comedy show. Were you aware of the Me Too movement? That was a great movement. She says, yes. What are these? Me and Puff at Burning Man, then on Black-ish. Who are the people in this photo? Mama Combs, Christian, D-Rock, Fahim, Tron. During these IDs, Combs is whispering to Agnafilo. Steele says, you worked through March of 2017. Mia says, it was confusing. On December 6th of 2016, you were notified. You made this and gave it to Mr. Combs? Mia says, yes. What did you write at the top? Puff, sometimes life goes by at a catastrophic speed. I hope you can sit back and consider I made this book of articles from 1991 to now. Did you mean those words? Yes. He said to me, I used to look at the world the way you do, but now I've done everything. It was sad. The man you say ruined your life, Diddy's attorney says. I can tell you what my therapist has said. Oh, come on, Mia. Tell us what the therapist has said. Mr. Steele says, how could you do this? It's called psychological abuse. No one did anything. What could be more terrible? Objection, AUSA says. Sustained, the judge says. Mia says, there are textbooks out there. It's called an abusive relationship. But you are not dating Mr. Combs. You see what I'm... See, this is why I kept on emphasizing to you guys, the cycle of abuse is not just in domestic relationships or love relationships. It can also happen in the workplace. But you are not dating Mr. Combs. Abusive relationships are not limited to that. There were no streaming documentaries about this. No one flinched at his behavior. Now they would. You told Cassie she's a superstar and she should get the money. I don't remember that. Aren't you lying about Mr. Combs' misbehavior? I have not lied to anyone at all. Isn't it true it did not happen as many times as you just said? Mia says, everything I said in this courtroom is true. Why did you make him the scrapbook? You could talk to an expert about SA. Could we hand the scrapbook to the jurors? The judge says, take a brief look for a couple of minutes. We're going to learn a lot about cycles of abuse just from this case. Because people that have been abused, you talk about Stockholm Syndrome, there's so much that we need to keep in mind. And I'm not saying either way that there aren't people that lie. However, I'm not shocked that this man that was once celebrated by the world and people looked up to him, and even if they were in a situation working for him and they felt like I've been abused, but who's going to believe me? You can look at social media and see the people that are still currently defending Diddy or Tory Lanez. All right. So did you make Mr. Combs a birthday video? Mia says, I put one together. I asked people if they wanted to send in a video. I wanted to ask you about the last four digits, start reading them out. AUSA says, objection. I just want to get to the transcript. The back and forth between the attorneys, unless it's relevant for us to understand what's happening, I will point it out, but I just wanted to move on. Did you make Mr. Combs a birthday video? Blah, blah, blah. Mia says, okay, so Combs' attorney as KK, I'm not going to say it, effing tell you are. Mia says, the pain hurts so effing bad. Who is Laura Gomez? She was in HR at Combs Enterprises. You start. I'm going to unalive myself. My life is over. This is what Steele is reading. She says, yes. Combs says, you could have quit. Combs' attorney says, you could have quit. Mia says, I didn't see it that way. Why? There's a pretty long psychological explanation. I was around them 24 hours a day. This is all I knew. Why weren't you happy to be severed? Isn't this great? Not then. Judge Diddy's attorney, Your Honor, judge says, we'll let the jury go for the weekend. Don't read anything about the case. Have your notifications turned off? All rise for the jury. So this was at 4:00. So they've been ending court these last couple of days a little bit later than they were last week. I'm not going to go into anything else that they're talking about here. Let me get to the summary because we're already running along with this and it's the weekend and I know you guys want to go too. But this is your update. This is your weekly update from our friends over that are in the courtroom covering the Diddy case. Let's get to some of the summary of what NBC News is reporting. So the defense showed pictures of Mia at a party wishing Combs a happy birthday on what would have been the 6-year anniversary of the SA. She testified that he committed against her. Mia said that she just learned to shut it down for that moment. I tried to protect that night and shut it down and not think about it again. The defense made Mia read what she wrote about Combs on his birthday. Legend, rapper, actor, entrepreneur, an extraterrestrial was born. Happy B-Day. Thank you for showing me the path to Pluto and beyond. The defense is continuing its effort to minimize any bad acts by Combs by citing previous kind words from Mia. She effusively praised Combs in social media post things with pictures of his birthday celebration in late 2016. The caption Mia wrote and shown in court included a praising F-bomb. You are the coolest alien rock star unicorn pizza slice and we effing love you. Mia is, you know who they need to get up there on the stand? Heather. Remember Heather from Real Housewives of New York? She worked with Diddy for a period of time. I wonder what she would have to say. Okay. The defense is continuing its effort to minimize any bad acts by Combs. All right. So Mia is very engaged during this cross-examination and is confidently claiming ownership of her Instagram posts featuring and praising Combs, despite defense attorney Brian Steele's attempt to show the disconnect between her claims of suffering at Combs' hands and her glowing posts about him. Mia doubled down, saying that everyone who worked for Combs was expected to post. She reiterated that back then, people tended to post only about the high moments in life, not the lows. Still, that's what people post. Okay, but this part is interesting. Trump might consider pardoning Diddy? Because a lot of you have been asking that. And I say, well, he can't pardon until Diddy's convicted. But you never know. He could pardon him today. And this is why I say pardoning people like Todd Chrisley and things like that becomes dangerous, because now people are really considering, are you going to let this man go? According to NBC News, it's Daniel Arkin. He says Trump is not ruling out a pardon for Combs, telling reporters in the Oval Office this afternoon that he would, quote, certainly look at the facts, or probably, never mind. I'm just going to leave it alone. Trump, asked by Fox News' Peter Doocy whether he would consider taking the step, said nobody asked, but added that people are thinking about it. Trump went on to say that he hadn't seen or spoken to Combs in years and that he hasn't followed Combs' trial closely. In 2012 episode of The Apprentice, Trump called Combs a good friend of mine and a good guy. In his second term, Trump has issued pardons for various celebrities, including reality stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, rapper NBA Youngboy, and hip-hop star Lil Wayne. Mia testified blaming herself for being the victim of SA was her coping mechanism and shouldn't be interpreted as an excuse for the alleged perpetrator. I am a SA victim. Just survive, she said during cross-examination. I'm unraveling a lot of this now in therapy. Nobody told me, nobody was there to say the things that were happening were wrong. In Combs' world, the victims were always made to feel at fault, she said. I was always in trouble and always finding a way not to be in trouble, Mia explained. And we remember, you also learned what he would do by using other workers, including Mia, in order to go up against other people that were filing lawsuits or that would complain. She saw if she complained, he probably would have utilized someone else in his team to go up against her. Again, are we building an enterprise? Are we building the case for the RICO? Maybe. They said in the most direct and pointed cross-examination yet, Combs' defense lawyer Steele asked Mia if she was wrong and that his client never had non-consensual sex with her. What I said is true, the unwavering witness said. I have not lied to anyone at all. Steele asked Mia if she overestimated the number of times she alleges that Combs might have inappropriately touched her. Everything I said in this courtroom is true. And even when I was reading what Inner City Press was reporting, I read them as confident. Like, she was finding her confidence in the cross-examination. So when asked point blank by the defense if Mia was afraid Combs would unalive her, she said yes. She went on to explain that her trauma brain won over her logic brain, and Combs' behavior became normalized. Mia said that she's a pleaser and a rule follower who wanted to do my best and make everybody happy all at the same time. She explained that after something violent, she'd confront him and he'd admit to needing help. Pattern of abuse. We're not even talking about Cassie and Diddy. We're now talking about Diddy and one of his subordinates. It's the same thing. It's just different people. But again, the defense has to paint the picture, but you're not his girlfriend. Or did you think that you were his girlfriend in his head, in your head? Were you just a fan? She explained that after something violent, she'd confront him and he'd admit to needing help. After something violent, if I was pushed to the edge, I would confront him about things. He would say, I need help, she said. And now she's starting to feel sorry for him. Mia testified that she was devastated about being let go from her job on Combs' team, according to a December 6, 2016 text conversation between the witness and the mogul's chief of staff, Christina Curram. Christina Curram has to be testifying. I cannot imagine that she would not. She says, I'm going to unalive myself. My life is over. I had to change the words. It is a quote, but she didn't use unalive. Mia wrote about a no longer being with Combs. I'm so heartbroken, I can't breathe. Curram did her best to console the witness about this career setback, which could help the defense minimize or raise doubt about the abuse, Mia said, she suffered from Combs. It's just it's just a pattern of people feeling like, this is all I have. I can't go work anywhere else because he won't allow it. These other opportunities, Capricorn Clark talked about that. These other opportunities are not being offered. And this is why it's important to listen to the Kempire podcast version. Because as I said, I feel like in preparation for covering the Diddy trial, there's so much more information. There's so many different perspectives. There's so many different journalists that are in the courtroom that are remembering certain things that other people are not remembering or other platforms are not reporting on. And I'm not going to hold this against these other platforms. I don't think it's intentional. However, I will say I do believe that there are some of the certain platforms that are bought and paid. We're not going to get into that. However, you can probably pay attention. This is why I love platforms like NPR. And just certain platforms are about the news and are not bought and paid. However, I do want to talk about Law and Crime, and they've been doing amazing coverage. And they did this video, and it's been coming out because I just did the video for your day 13 update. And I had to include this because I felt it was necessary. And shout out to those of you that will watch the podcast video version on YouTube, because this particular version will be different than the video that literally as I'm recording this is airing now, which took me so long to upload. It was done at like 5:30, maybe six, yeah, a little bit before 6 o'clock. Took like an hour or so to just upload. Woo, 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 Campfire.
Woo, woo, woo.
It's okay. I will continue to let you guys know. I'm trying to update on a daily basis. It's weird because at the beginning, when we first started doing this, there were no issues. But look, maybe it's just the week. Maybe it's just the week. Next week will be better. That's what we're going to put it out there. But I had to add this particular portion to the podcast because I thought it was really important. Because Diddy's legal team, his defense team, dropped this video in the last hour of the day. And Law and Crime, because they have different attorneys also weighing in, and I want to include this, and we're going to include this under fair use because I'm going to stop and listen to some of what they're discussing. All right, so let's get into what they had to say on Law and Crime.
They figured out who Mia is. We got this video, again, that might be used to impeach her credibility. We got this video also from random people on the internet. We don't think this was ever posted on her social media. It was on some random website. Should we show it to you? I got to ask you, I have to move on to this question, Serena.
So let me play that again. For those who may have missed it at the beginning, what he's talking about.
By the way, interesting update from court. Sean Combs' counsel, Alexandra Shapiro, says some people on the internet think they figured out who Mia is. We got this video, again, that might be used to impeach.
Which is so interesting to me that the legal team, his legal team, are talking about what people are talking about on the internet. in regards to figuring out who Mia is. But what they're saying here is that the Mia that you see in this footage, which we're not going to share, and Law and Crime doesn't share it either, is not, they're saying her demeanor in court is different than in this video. However, I will say this, people be code switching. Look, I just code switched just right there. People code switch in different environments, but okay. And she's literally on the stand, but we're going to play this.
Her credibility. We got this video also from random people on the internet. We don't think this was ever posted on her social media. It was on some random website. Should we show it to you? I got to ask you, I have to move on to this question, Serena. This is quite alarming. How is this possible?
I have no idea how it's possible. And I'm sure Mia is probably, panicking in this moment in time. Like, are people stalking her on the internet, trying to figure out her identity? You know, she testified that she was a rape victim, essentially. There's rape shield laws that exist to try to protect people in her position. And so this is really...
And I also wouldn't put past Diddy, and I'm not going to say his legal team, but I wouldn't put it past Diddy and his people, because literally she testified, Mia testified today, talking about how D-Rock reached out to her after the whole Cassie stuff, her lawsuit, came out. So again, for those that think that because Diddy's in jail that he still doesn't have power and influence, you're wrong. And I don't necessarily believe it's just the internet. It's very possible, because we know how the internet is today, and I'm sure people have been trying to figure out who she is, especially with some of the testimony of today and some of the things that she posted on socials. I'm sure a lot of people are piecing things together. Did I ever see anyone post that?
Getting very nerve-wracking probably for her, and just absurd for the courtroom.
If someone revealed her identity, is that a crime, Tyler?
No, it's not a crime if somebody revealed her identity, especially if they're not a part of this case. The reason they have these confidentiality orders and protective orders is for the parties involved to do their best to protect a Jane Doe or anybody proceeding under the pseudonym's identity. It is possible for the public to learn their identity, but it's really the people who are part of the case who are agreeing to protect her confidentiality. Once she got into that on that stand, it's very possible that somebody knew her identity. What I find more troubling and less likely is if this video is being sent by random people on the internet, and that's what they want to proffer as evidence in this criminal trial, I find that hard to be admitted. If they could track the video from one person who could confirm the identity of the person, and then it could be used for impeachment evidence, that's different. But random people on the internet sending videos, that opens the door to a can of worms.
Well, I mean, Tyler, they would have to authenticate it, make sure it's real, and couldn't they theoretically be able to use it?
They could theoretically be able to use it, but it seems like they're trying to use it right now when Mia's going to get put back on the stand. I haven't heard of any witness to authenticate this video yet. They're just talking about displaying this video. That's what seems to be a little odd to me.
Apparently, the video is being shown not on the public screen in the gallery. I think it's already been redacted. And then the prosecutor says they waited until the direct was over. This is a kind of a change of circumstances. Does it become a question if her identity has been revealed and her security her testimony is going to be affected in some way? And I'm sure this happens in trials all the time where there's a change in circumstance. Could she stop being questioned? She testified. The defense has a right to cross-examine her. But if there is a change in circumstances, could she in any way, the court say, hey, listen, she's done with her testimony. You got what you needed out of her, Serena?
I don't think so. I think that would be like the best appeal point ever on the side of the defense. I think the case gets over.
And if you listen to the video that I did with Kirsten Brown, a prosecutor in Los Angeles, then you saw that she said that it seems as if some of the things that they're doing in regards to trying to trigger a mistrial is all for the possibility of an appeal later.
Returned because you're violating the confrontation clause. You know, you're taking away Diddy's right to confront his accuser, especially because she's already given all of the testimony that was apparently positive for the prosecution, and then cutting her off before even one question could be asked by the, or maybe not one, but, you know, the full cross-examination be completed. I think it gets overturned.
What do you think the judge is going to do here? I mean, do you think the judge is go? First of all, can the judge order an investigation into this? And also, Tyler, do you think the judge is going to allow this piece of evidence in? If we're reading this correctly through the transcript, that this is a situation where she might be faking the way she's speaking on the stand, feels like relevant evidence for cross-examination. But at the same time, the way they're getting it and the issue of her identity being revealed, A, can the judge order some sort of investigation here? And B, you think he's going to allow this video in?
Well, it's probably 3 o'clock right now, or close to 2 o'clock. If I was the judge, which I'm not, I think this would be a good time to let's see what this video looks like. Let's see what the testimony would be given, what examination questions would be asked by a defense. Let's break for the day, and he'll make his ruling and start on Monday fresh whether this video is going to be allowed in or not allowed in. I think that would be a good way for the court to explore, you know, the potential pitfalls here, see how the defense is going to authenticate this video. Now, regarding any additional protections for Mia, I think that the court and the parties involved in this case have appeared to do everything possible to protect her identity. But the fact of the matter is, this is a high profile case. People are watching this all across the country. And if you would think that she would be on the stand giving facts about pictures with Cassie and being in South Africa, that people weren't looking on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, anywhere else on social media to try to put two and two together, that's hard to believe. So I'm not shocked that people have identified her, because I'm pretty sure people are on their phones right now trying to look into her.
We got a question about this. Serena, this is from Enlin DK. Wouldn't they have to prove where they got the video? Sneaky.
Yeah, it's just, as the two of you were saying, that there needs to be a witness to authenticate that video, meaning to set a foundation to show that it hasn't been tampered with, that it's not AI. You know what I mean? It's, especially in today's day and age, you have to be able to have the appropriate witness say, this is a fair and accurate depiction of who this person is. And who that witness is going to be, who knows? Maybe Mia herself. We don't know, but I do agree that this is a good time for the court to send the jury home and have this kind of mooted in front of him to see kind of whether the relevance is there, whether the foundation is there, and whether the prejudicial value outweighs that.
I think we have an answer about this video. The judge just said, when did the defense see it? Combs counsel Alexandra Shapiro says, yesterday. Judge says, when was it marked at 1750? Shapiro says, I don't know. Judge says the video is precluded after the number of social media posts the defense has used. It is cumulative. The defense's theory dubious. What does that mean? Tyler, I'll start with you.
Yeah, they're not going to allow the video in. They're saying that there's been substantial social media posts already admitted into evidence showing that Mia has been in communications and contact with Mr. Combs, and that she said things like, I love you, you're a mentor, and things of that nature. But it sounds like this video, the defense believe this is going to be some strong evidence. I'm pretty sure they're going to want their objections noted for the record. So this could be an issue on appeal if this is highly prejudicial for Mr. Combs' case.
Well, Serena, I mean, it seems like they're saying we're using it for a different purpose. We're not trying to suggest, hey, she's making up the story because look at, you know, positive posts she's making about Sean Combs. But no, this video shows she's not talking the same affect that she is on the stand. So it seems, if I'm understanding correctly, they're trying to use this video for a different kind of impeachment.
I totally agree with you. And I think, not to assume too many things, but to me, this feels like the judge saying, you know what, I'm just going to say it's cumulative because we got to keep this trial going. We have Mia on the stand who's probably falling apart. I'm not going to want to bring her back on Monday. Finish her testimony, get her off the stand. Let's keep this trial moving at the right pace. And I do agree with you. I think that the judge is just making that decision to make that decision. I don't think it's actually cumulative.
You know, it's a great question. Just, by the way, another update in court. Brian Steele, this is Sean Combs' defense counsel, one of them. Can I ask if she sent it? Can I ask if she sent it? The judge says yes. I'm going to ask about scrapbooks. The prosecutor and I have a disagreement. I have 3 copies, 1 for the jurors to pass around. The honorable prosecutor and I disagree. So it looks like a separate question. Here's a great question from Michelle LaBelle. Tyler, how does the public know how she's acting in court, which is different than usual if they're not allowed in court? So that makes me think now, the only people to know how she's actually testifying and the way that she's speaking are those who are in the courtroom. Now, I'm not making any conspiracy theories here, but that's a good question, right? Why would this video be circulating? Unless, of course.
Which goes back to what I've been saying. I feel like this is just Diddy and whatever underlings he has on the outside, or that now that she's taken the stand, now he's working overtime. You're not telling me that this man is, there is no communication on the outside. He has been accused by the prosecution before the trial even started of breaking jailhouse rules and using people's phones. He's been allegedly threatening people from jail. So I'm not surprised the fact that, and again, even if this is what's happening, that Diddy is doing something from behind the scenes on the outside and bringing it here into court, regardless of that, the demeanor of Mia on the stand versus her normal demeanor in that video that's now being excluded, I could understand. But for me, because I'm not there, because I'm not in front of Mia, a very good point that this person's bringing up, what is the major difference? I would have to see it. Is she speaking in a certain accent that she never used to use? That's the thing. Her demeanor could also be the fact that her demeanor is different now. And if you listen to this entire video and audio, her demeanor could be different now because of the trauma she went through at the hands of Sean Diddy Combs. So that could be part of the reason why her demeanor might be a little different.
Unless, of course, someone found out her identity from the outside, just was circulating the video, and defense counsel said, wait a minute. The way she's talking in this video is very different than the way she's talking on the stand. Or the more ominous conspiracy theory is, did someone in the court who knew the way she was speaking start circulating the video online? I mean, I don't want to be engaging in conspiracy theories here, but it's a great question for Michelle LaBelle, no?
Yeah, it's a great question. But one thing that Mr. Combs' defense lawyer just said is, can I ask her if she sent it? Now, if they're referencing the video that he wants to ask her if she sent it, they must know who she sent the video to. They said random people earlier. They may not be trying to show their whole hand here. If Mr. Combs knows Mia clearly, so he knows how she acted when she was with him versus how she's acting now. The defense has, you know, offices, and they have associates and other people who are on the outside who could be investigating, trying to collect evidence that could be used to help Mr. Combs in real time. Now, do I think somebody there is a plant who's a reporter or something helping the defense? No, but this is a high profile case. She's testifying. To think that
he may not think that, but I do. But I get it. We can't naturally assume, especially in 2025, with the amount of people that are at this court that are trying to cover this case. I'm telling you, if this was being broadcast on television right now, it would be in an even bigger circus, but it's already a circus. And yesterday I said to myself, I am so glad that I did not go down to that court every day, because first of all, the amount of information that you're following and covering, I just don't think it's necessarily healthy for even people that are covering this. But what's transpiring outside those courts in those streets, I think that's just the energy. That's the energy of Diddy. And I think being around that energy is causing the chaos and the circus that's happening now in court, but also on the outside.
There aren't people on the outside who have interest in this case, whether as associates, employees of either side of this case, would be foolish.
Got a question from Laya. This is a question for you, Serena. Did Mia get exposed?
Yeah, it's possible. And again, it's very scary if so, because everyone's trying to protect this woman and she deserves that protection and privacy. But as we've been saying, it is still a somewhat public trial. There are going to be not only people in the courtroom, but online sleuths. I mean, even the court drawing, though her face is blurred out, we can tell her race, we can tell her hair color, we can tell her stature. And, you know, there are probably going to be people, maybe not in Diddy's inner circle, but maybe even in the second or third degree circle, who know who this woman is. And so to think that she has complete anonymity in today's day and age with, you know, online sleuthing and just the ability to find things out about people, it's just so easy today. So I do think that someone figured out who she was.
We'll get a question from Melissa Budas. This is for you, Tyler. Didn't the previous witness, the stylist, so Deontay Nash, confirm a lot of Mia's testimony?
Oh, he confirmed a lot of her testimony, and everybody at the prosecution is calling as witness, their testimony is meant to build on each other. Think about the witnesses that led up to Kid Cudi testifying. Then you had Deontay Nash, who testified a couple days ago, and now Mia, who's testifying now. So the prosecution is not calling witnesses, and they're going to be surprised at what they say. They have an idea of what they're going to say, and they want to present this case methodically in a way they want. That's the whole point of planning for trial and presenting your case in a way that's going to be effective.
Yeah, it's I know that he definitely, that it was a overlap of testimony regarding trying to intervene when Sean Combs allegedly was attacking Cassie, one of the few times we've ever heard anybody do that, but you know, that Mia tried to step in, he tried to step in, he mentioned Mia.
They were the only ones.
Serena, we got a question here from Green Yoshi once again. Again, is there another color Yoshi? I got to play Super Mario 3, I don't remember. All right, what is being done to protect the jury in terms of their identities post-trial?
Which is something that I talked about with Kirsten Brown, the prosecutor, the other day. Again, if you missed that, I keep citing it because it's necessary. I think you will learn a lot if you really do value having an educated understanding of what we're watching it, you know, transpire over these last couple of weeks. She talks about the jury. She talks about what they're able to do while they're doing this, their jury duty, but also what they are able to do afterwards. She says they can remain anonymous until this is over, or they can decide to come out and tell their story.
Kyle.
That's a great question. You know, a jury is, the people who are on this case might be nervous about something like that. Obviously, they were very well vetted. Questions were asked of them, and you know, somehow they ended up on this jury as unbiased and willing participants, I guess. But there is always that fear that they're going to be found out. Sometimes people take advantage of that. They like to write about it, or they like to give interviews, but you don't have to. And it is a nerve-wracking thing if people find out who you are and you've been on this trial, because sometimes people are very upset at the eventual verdict.
And again, just because if Diddy is convicted, just because he's in jail does not mean he does not have influence still here on the outside.
One more question I'm going to throw to you, Tyler. This is from Enlin DK. Once again, if they're saying she's faking, meaning Mia, couldn't the same be said about Diddy? Where's the bling and ego?
Well, the bling is not on him. He's now a resident of a detention facility while he's pending trial. He hasn't taken a stand yet either to put himself up there and remind people that he is presumed innocent until he's found guilty by a jury. He does not have to present any evidence. It's up to the prosecution's job to present their case and get these criminal charges proved beyond a reasonable doubt. So if he does get on the stand, yes, they could say that Mr. Combs is acting. Now, there could be a, you could insinuate that
I like the fact that he says if he does take the stand, it's still not ruled out. But again, if you listen to my conversation with Kirsten, in her history of prosecuting these cases, she says it's usually the ones that are accused of similar charges as Diddy that are the narcissists that will think it's a good idea for them to take the stand. I thought that was, again, I had so many aha moments in that conversation.
Clothes that he's wearing, that people have described, he looks somewhat like Bill Cosby as Mr. Huxtable, right, in the Cosby Show versus the mere Sean Puffy Combs that people are used to. I could see that, but he's not on the stand here. He's sitting at the table as a defendant trying to talk to his counsel about how they can discredit any witness that gets on the stand for the prosecution.
So quick update from court. Judge, you can give it to them. Judge says you can give it to them for a couple minutes. Bring Mia back in. Then the jury, the witness enters, jury enters. Okay, Combs, Brian Steele asks, what is the Breakfast Club? Mia says, the name of our camp, Puff's friend.
Okay, we already talked about that. I just wanted to give you guys, shout out to our podcast, Ham, we appreciate you. I wanted to give you this update about this bombshell video that came in the late hours of today's day 13 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. So the judge sent the jurors home for the weekend, meaning Mia will have to come back for more testimony on Monday. The judge reminded jurors to not talk about this case with anyone and be hyper vigilant for any trial talk on TV and to immediately change the channel if Combs' name is said. He says, have a good weekend. Guys, as always, we will continue to follow this case on a daily basis. It is definitely hard. I promise you, I am doing the things. Even next week, I have something that I'm going to do that's going to be a day of just no Diddy, at least. So stay tuned for that. You'll probably just get your Diddy update a little bit late. But I, too, need to unpack and regenerate after all of this triggering conversation that we've been having all week and triggering technology. This week, hopefully next week, the technology will be working properly. Guys, as always, don't forget, you can hear our Diddy trial updates. And sometimes I do add, a lot of times I've added additional content to our Diddy updates on the Campfire podcast. So subscribe today to that. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to check out Factor Meals, who's sponsoring today's live recap of the Diddy trial. And don't forget the Campfire After Dark, the villain era. It's coming to Philadelphia on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're back at City Winery in Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're at Union Stage in Washington, D.C. And then back here in New York City on Friday, September 12th. That show, the New York City show, has a live stream option. Again, even if you're coming to the other shows, get the live stream option for this show. You'll have that for about a week. And what we talk about in these other cities won't be what we talk about or what you guys bring up for our night of hot topics, comedy, and more. As always, if you haven't already, be sure to like the video. One thing I've noticed when I've been in the live recap, the premiere of these videos, you guys aren't liking the video. You're sitting around watching. I'm not going to do these videos anymore. If the people are not liking, I'm really going to stop. I am going to stop doing this, at least on a daily basis, because there's no point in me showing up every single day if you guys are not showing up with a like. You're watching. Are you watching to take the content and utilize it for your own? Selfish. It's all right. Shout out to our King's Guards. Shout out to our channel members. Shout out to our community of subscribers. We appreciate you guys. And shout out to those of you that are new subscribers. We appreciate you guys as well. I'm kidding. I'm being somewhat facetious. My loyal community, I will update you guys on a daily basis. But again, don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe, and don't forget to listen to us on the Campfire podcast. I might, if I have time this weekend, give you a weekend update on the podcast exclusively, because there's so many other things that have been going on that I want to talk about as well. Also, sidebar, rest in peace to Nico McKnight, Brian McKnight's son that was battling cancer. We found out today from Brian McKnight's brother that Nico has passed away. Ain't no good gonna come to you, Brian McKnight. Anyway, F cancer. Guys, have a fantastic weekend. Go take a break. I'm going to as well after I finish editing this video. Everyone, see you all in the next one. Thank you so much for watching and, of course, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. Don't forget to give the Kempire 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And as always, for more information on everything Kempire Radio Network, head on over to KempireRadio.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely smoothly and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to AeroHit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.